This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'gfiru. Wa na'unzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa sayyati a'malina man yahdihillah falamudillana wa man yudlilhu falahadiyana. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أوصيكم وإياي أولا بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون كما قال الله تعالى في القرآن الكريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وبعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وأحسن الحديث حديث محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Inshallah to all the sisters and brothers, let us recite the morning dua. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بك أسبحنا وبك أمسينا وبك نحيا وبك نموت وإليك النشور بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد النبي اللهم زدني علما نافعا ورزقا طيبا وعملا متقبلا يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك وعلى طاعتك اللهم أدخلنا جنتك وأجرنا من النار ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين يا رب العالمين All praise due to Allah رب العالمين for His guidance, for His mercy to allow us to pass to almost half of Ramadan this year. We are just going through to the other half, inshallah. Some people have passed away in the month of Ramadan. May Allah bless their soul. We are still alive. May Allah give us the opportunity to become a better Muslim from time to time. Brothers and sisters, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam remind us about what Allah said in the Quran. In the Quran, Allah remind us, "Yughfar lahum ma qad salaf." Allah said, "Yughfar lahum ma qad salaf." You can get it in Suratul Anfal. There's an ayah Allah reminds us, meaning Allah Rabbul Alamin loves to forgive, and He is telling us, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala forgive all the mistake, the sin that we have committed, yeah, before the past sins. We cannot deny that we are all sinners. The longer they live in this world, we are exposed to more sins, whether it's minor or major. But the blessing of Islam is, Allah said, "Yughfar lahum ma qad salaf." Then the Prophet ﷺ remind us, in Sahih al-Bukhari, that Abu Wa'il and Ibn Mas'ud said that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one of his hadith, "Man ahsana fil Islam lam yu'aqas bima amila fi jahiliyah." The meaning, he or she who become good in Islam, after you have learned about Islam, because we have not been learning about our deen when we are young. Even we are born Muslim, we don't really learn about our religion. We take things for granted. As long as I'm Muslim, khalas. Whether I pray or not, I'm still a Muslim. Whether I fast or not, I'm still a Muslim. That is the kind of Islam that we believe at that time. So the Prophet now is telling us, he who become good in Islam will not be punished for what he or she have committed during Jahiliyyah. Why we have all this problem before? Because we are Jahil. We all are ignorant about our own religion. We thought that as long as my father, my mother Muslim, I will be a Muslim. How bad I am, inshallah, I will go to paradise. And that's why you see a lot of Muslims have been committing sins day in, day night. And there are still a lot of Muslims still committing the same sin. And it's still going. We hope that our sins will decrease from time to time. This is what the Prophet ﷺ reminds us about the goodness if we come back to Allah. Yeah. And the ayah that I always quote almost every time when I begin my class, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Please make sure that all of us will not end our life until we have come back to Allah. We are far away once upon a time. Now we are back. Ramadan is the best month to reflect. Because in Ramadan you can see the difference. People get closer to Allah. People are busy in the night prayer. Less sin. I think you agree with me. Ramadan, less sins. Eh? Sin is still there. Yeah? Our area, alhamdulillah, less sin. You go downtown. Yeah, then you still have the same kind of activities. So we need to make sure that this Ramadan do really benefit all of us, because we want to come back to Allah. We want to change. And there's another saying of the Prophet from Imam Muslim and Imam Ahmad, Al-Islam yajubbu ma qablah wa taubatu tajubbu ma kana qablaha. The Prophet always gives hope to his ummah. The Prophet always encourages and motivates us, even we have not been a good Muslim. Meaning the Prophet is not here to pass judgment to us, but to guide us, to show us way out. And he said, Islam, meaning when you come back to Islam. That's why in Philippines, whoever come back to Islam, the Filipino language is Balik Islam. Yeah. They never say convert, they said Balik Islam. It so happened, they also use the word Balik. Balik also it is a Filipino language. Yeah. Islam erases what occurred before it, and repentance erases what occurs before it too. Meaning, either you come back to Islam when you are out from Islam, then the past will be erased. Or you are a Muslim, and you still commit a lot of things, shirk, sometime. And you repent to Allah, no more shirk. Like what we always remind all the good brothers and sisters, Ramadan comes in, a lot of people walk in, to seek some aids, some bantuan, whatever we can offer, we try. But they also bring with them shirik. And they bring their child, carry their baby, young children, who were so innocent. And they tie black string. Yeah, they wear necklace. All if it is gold, alhamdulillah. But gold is very dangerous for children. Yeah, people may just come and grab it, pull it, it will injure, it will cause harm to the children. So they just tie black string. So we have to be busy with the scissors. So each time when they come, we will carry a scissors. Neither they, those who know, they know, they keep it first in their pocket and then they come in. So when we check, nothing, alhamdulillah. Now what they keep in the pocket, we are not going to check. We only want to see whether they are still wearing it. Man allaka tamimatan faqad ashraq, the Prophet said. Whoever ties anything, string, not, and they have the belief that this is a protector. Protect them from jinn, protect them from danger, we have to cut. Yeah. If not, we are encouraging them to commit shirk. And that is the only sin that Allah will not forgive. And we do not want to end with that. We want to end our life as a Muslim. So remember what I said. The Prophet was here to guide all of us, show us way out. Today we are going to continue on page 73. We are going to page 73 today. Good. Alhamdulillah. We have been talking about how to know our Prophet and all the early prophets. The last ayah that we quote, even all the prophet was commanded by Allah to eat what is halal and good, and also they must do good deeds. Now it is not right for a prophet to teach his people to be good and he is not doing it. Yeah, teach people to pray and he is not praying. So Allah make it very clear, Ya ayyuhal rusul, kulu minat tayyibat wa'amalu saliha. Wa'amalu saliha. O messengers, the rusul, eat from the good food and do good deeds. Now eating is something very dear to all of us. Food is something that you cannot ignore, you cannot escape. Everybody need food. You may not have money, but you still need food. And that's why there was a time Zakat al-Fitrah is only for food, no money. Because you may have the money, but you can't buy the food, because the food is very expensive. So there was the time that the law said you must give your zakat fitrah in a form of flour, rice, something that people can cook and people can eat. You give them money, they can't eat money. They still have to look for food, and that food is expensive. It's not easy to get flour, it's not easy to get rice and so on, or bread. So that's why zakat fitrah is reinforced by giving food stuff. Today you have abundance of food. That means everywhere you can, the supermarket, the small market, mini market, everywhere, you just need money. If not, what will happen to our community? If you still hold to, you must give food, then you pass it to the poor, and the poor, they say, I have so much rice at home, flour, packet, so what can I do? They want to sell it to you. So they give it to you, you said, I sell it back to you, and you give me cash in return. So it's a bit difficult. Yeah? But Alhamdulillah, Abu Hanifa introduced and said that what is important today is how to ease the burden of the poor and the needy. If they need money, then money will be the most practical way of giving zakat al-fitrah. Brothers and sisters, now let us come back to the topic, page 73, they did not know ghaib. Normally, people want to say that you are somebody special when you know about the unseen. A lot of people have their own imagination. A prophet, a saint, must be somebody who have the knowledge of the unseen. Where Allah is telling us, since all of the prophets were created by Allah, like how all of us were created by the same God, they were all under His power and control. None of them had the power to do as He wished in the world. You can do, but you don't have the power. If with the will of Allah, then it happened. None of them could bring benefit or harm without Allah's permission. None of them could change Allah's decision. None of them knew of the hidden ghaib aside from what Allah taught them. And Allah said, قُلْ لَا عَمْلِكُ لِنَفْسِي نَفْعَ وَلَا ضَرَّ وَلَا ضَرَّ إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَلَوْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ لَا اسْتَكْثَرْتُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ وَمَا مَسَّنِيَ السُّوءُ إِنْ أَنَا إِلَّا نَزِيرٌ وَبَشِيرٌ لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ Surah A'raf, verses 188. This is a beautiful reminder from Allah to all of us, and Prophet Muhammad received this wahyu. And Allah command him to say, O Muhammad, you must tell the people that I, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do not have the power to benefit or harm myself except as Allah's will. If I had the knowledge of ghaib, I would have brought for myself much wealth and no harm could have touched me. I am only a warner. Remember, I am only Nazir, a warner and a bringer of good news for believing people. Now, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu explained about this ayah very beautifully, that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the last messenger of Allah, had to make it very clear when he conveyed his message, that he is not going to bring any benefit to them or God going to harm them. No. But he is here to warn them and remind them. But if he command you to do what Allah wants you to do and you follow, it will benefit you when you follow. But if you do not follow, it won't benefit you. You can say, I am the followers of Muhammad, but you don't follow his teaching, that wouldn't benefit you. And you can say that, if I don't do this, can something bad happen to me? Can Prophet Muhammad curse me? No. He just conveyed the message. If you don't do, it's between you and Allah. If you do it, it's good for yourself. Then, when you talk about the ghaib, Ghaib Ibn Abbas explained, you look at the ayat, لَاسْتَقْسْتَرْتُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ, meaning, I would have accumulated wealth if I know what is going to happen. Example, if I engage in business, I know what is going to happen in the future. I know what is going up. If you're playing share, example, and when we play share, you only like to buy when the share drop. Yeah? If you want to buy gold, you don't buy when the gold is going up. You wait for the right time. But we believe that gold price may fluctuate up, down. So a good businessman will wait for the time when it drops. But do you know when it's going to rise up? When it's going to come out? We don't know. We only hope. If the Prophet know about all these things, he will accumulate wealth. And nothing will harm him after that. What do you mean nothing can harm the Prophet? That means he will never get poor. He will never suffer. He will be the richest man. But we have seen in life, those who involve in this kind of business, alhamdulillah, when time is good, they become so rich. So extra this, extra that. When time is bad, only Allah knows. Even they have to sell the shoes, their own shoes, because their shoes is expensive shoes. You know, maybe they buy the shoes when they have a good time, 25,000, you know, and still offer 30%. It's a good buy. 25,000 a pair of shoes. Have you heard about a pair of shoes, 25,000? No. Yeah, to us, our standard is different. We don't even want to know about this. It's just a shoes, you know. One of the richest men in Hong Kong, a Chinese man, when they interview him, when they look at the watch that he was wearing, it's a citizen. For citizen. It just cost me a few hundred ringgit. So they asked him, why you are so rich, people will go for this brand and you go for citizen. He just smiled at the journalist and said, yeah, a watch. What is the function of a watch? To show you time. Today, I think because of all of us having the smartphone, you don't need extra watch anymore. You have all the phone to tell you what time you are now. Life have changed. He said, if somebody want to steal or I misput somewhere, it's just a few hundred ringgit. Why must I buy for 20,000, 50,000? Why? These crazy people do that. And this businessman said, those who do that, they are crazy. But those who have already, don't just throw it away. Just keep on wearing, alhamdulillah. Yeah, sometimes we are branded people, you know. So branded people go for branded things. Yeah? Alhamdulillah. And all this has something to do with your wealth. You have so much to spend on yourself, but you forget about your duty towards the poor and the needy. And that's why zakat is important, to purify our income. Now the Prophet said, I am only a warner and a bringer of good news for believing people. Only the believing people will benefit from the teaching. If you don't believe, like Abu Jahl decide not to believe, his uncle that he loved so much, Abu Talib, also decided not to believe. But he loved Muhammad as a nephew, as a person, but not his teaching. And Muhammad cannot help him. Rasulullah cannot help him. Even his daughter, Fatima, the Prophet said, if you don't believe and if you don't act righteously, I'm your father, I can't help you in the day of judgment. I only can give shafa'at when you follow my teaching, not just become my ummah. In Sahih Muslim, Allah Rabbul Alameen is informing us about what is going to happen in the day of judgment. That Allah prepared a pool of water. That water came from Jannah, Firdaus. And it was collected at this pool. And then this pool, Al-Kawthar, is only for the followers of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Only we can drink the water from Al-Kawthar. Not any followers. The followers of Noah, the followers of Moses, the followers of Isa, they can't, because this is only for the followers of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So in the day of judgment, the Prophet will summon his followers. He don't recognize all of us. Yeah. But there are some signs that he will recognize. For those who call azan, his neck will be longer. You know, this is the muazzibin come forward. For those who worship Allah and take ablution, the part that you sujood will glow. It will create a light. Yeah, it bright up, and the Prophet know these are the people who make sujood, who pray, come forward. Those who take ablution, all the parts that you wash your body when you take ablution also will shine. And these are the signs. Yeah? Then we will be called to the pool so that we will drink the water from Al-Kawthar. Then there are certain people who were stopped. They were there already because they are also ummat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They want to drink. The angel stopped them, and Allah informed our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they were not allowed to drink because you do not know what they have been doing after you pass away. They have been disobeying your teaching. They defied your sunnah. That means they don't like your sunnah. They ignore your sunnah. They belittle your sunnah. And sometimes they even criticize the sunnah. You have Muslim today who's so brave. When you say sunnah, what is sunnah? This is nonsense. They are saying sunnah is nonsense. If you don't want to keep beard, that is your face, not our face. You have to face Allah. When somebody want to keep beard, say, I want to follow the sunnah. What sunnah? This is nonsense. This is crazy. How can you say that something that Prophet want you to do is nonsense? So because they ignore, they criticize, they condemn, and that's why Allah said, even they are your ummah, they have no right to drink the water from the pool of Kawthar. That means just become the follower will not benefit you. Just become the children of the prophets and messenger will not benefit you. Just become the wife of the prophet will not benefit you. That's what happened to Lut, the wife. Choose not to believe. And Allah punish her with all the people who are involved. The Qawm Lut. Noah alayhi salam, one of the son, Qan'an, refused to believe. And he was drowned by Allah Rabbil Alameen. Ibrahim loved his father, but the father chose not to believe. This is how you move. It only benefit us when we follow the teaching. It's not because I'm linked to the Prophet. No. I am the descendant of the Prophet. Even you are the descendant. Yeah. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam make a prayer to Allah. May you grant me righteous generation, my offspring to be all the righteous people. Allah never promised. Everybody has to look for the truth. Everybody have to make their own choice. It's not that you inherit knowledge, you have to seek knowledge. Islam also, you have to learn about Islam. Do they make mistakes? We saw earlier in page 45 that Allah gave Isma to the Prophet. He protect them from making faults in delivering his instruction to the people. They do not make mistake in conveying the message of Allah. Because they will never put their opinion, their saying against Allah's commandment. No, they can't do that. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Prophet will not just say anything about Allah except what Allah revealed to them. He protect them from making faults in delivering his instruction to the people. We do emphasize again that ismah does not mean that the Prophet never make any mistake or committed any sin. Sin, what kind of sin? Let us go further, inshallah. They committed some sin. This is inherent to their human nature. Adam alayhi salam disobey Allah and act from the tree that Allah told him not to approach. Wala taqrabu hazihi sajada. Yunus alayhi salam, Jonah, left his people without Allah's permission. You remember what happened to Yunus? Adam, all of us are aware. But do you remember what happened to Yunus? What happened to him? Yeah. Why he was swallowed by the whale? He was calling his people back to Allah. He was inviting them. He was making da'wah. But his people do not respond to his call. Make him so angry, so frustrated and upset that he will give up. Enough is enough. Day he called them, night they called them, they just refused to follow. Not say you cannot hijrah. He is planning to make hijrah. So he know that there is another island. Say, I'm going to that new island. No more. I say bye-bye to this group of people. Now, if Allah command him to hijrah, then his hijrah is allowed. Like our Prophet have to make hijrah from Makkah to Medina. And when did Prophet make hijrah? When Allah command him to hijrah. He never migrate to Abyssinia. But others have migrated to Abyssinia. For a prophet, he cannot just do anything he like until there is an instruction from Allah. For Medina, instruction came. Allah want him to leave. Even the people have been inviting him, but he can't leave until Allah said, you have to leave. Then he prepared for his migration. And he chose the best friend, the best companion. Who is this best companion? Abu Bakr. All these are signs that Abu Bakr should be leading the Ummah after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because his trust towards Abu Bakr is very, very unique. Anything Abu Bakr. And he was the first to accept Islam among his friends. And the Prophet valued that. The Prophet valued that kind of loyalty. Yunus left his people without Allah's permission. So that's why Allah punished him. Do you think he committed a sin? To us, maybe. But it's not really pure sin. It's just that he said, I'm going to call other people, but not from this island anymore, because they are stubborn. So I have no time to entertain these stubborn people. Khalas, bye bye. It's like us. Sometimes you talk to your friend, they refuse to change. Our children, they refuse to listen to you. What are you going to do? Call them to hijrah? Yeah, you can do that. If you can't change your children at home, you don't let them change you. That means this is a Muslim house. If you keep on bringing haram thing here, we are going to throw it. You keep on bringing in, we are keep on throwing. Until you said, if you keep on throwing, I'm not going to come home. Then, bye-bye. But we are not going to let you do haram thing in our place. We don't allow that to happen. When they choose to be far away from us, then it's their choice. We don't cut off the ties. Whenever they need our advice, we are there. Whenever they want to come home, the house is open. Yeah. The upbringing of my mother is like that. from young, if you are trying to be funny, rude to your mother, she will say to the children, you can leave this house. You don't like to stay here. You don't like me talking to you. You don't like me reminding you. You can leave. The door is open. From age 9, my mother said this to me. Easy. Very easy going mother. You want to stay here, you follow my rule. You don't want to stay here, the door is open. So sometimes we follow desire. You think I cannot stay outside? I cannot survive? So I take one small bag, I left. Then at night, I crawl back. Home is the best home. Your mother will not abandon you, but you cannot do things that displease her. Yeah, when my father passed away when we were young, when I was not yet a Muslim, my mother is the only woman who worked so hard to bring the whole family. Allahu Akbar. She must be very strong. If not, she cannot help the children. So each time something happened, I reflect what happened to my life, alhamdulillah. Prophet Ibrahim said 3 lies. You remember the lies that Prophet Abraham said? To us it can be a lie, but it's the wisdom Allah gave him. The first one is when he started to call his father and his qawm back to Allah because they are worshipping idols. The first lie is when their people want to have a festival outside from the town. They want to have a festival outside. So they have prepared everything and they call everybody to come, including Ibrahim. Ibrahim excused himself. I am sick. I have to excuse myself. I am not well. So they leave him in peace. So all of them left the city and the temple. Nobody taking care of the temples where there are so many idols. From the smaller size to the medium to the big size idol. The big one is always in the middle. So this is the opportunity for Abraham to do something. He knew because these idols is made by my father. So he took an axe and he axed all the idols. The small, and the medium. And then he put the axe on the hand of the big idol. Then he went home and rest. So after this festival, when they returned back to the city, to the town, and they went to the temple, the people were shocked. What happened? But they know the only guy who do not follow us is Ibrahim. And Ibrahim has been calling them to worship one God. Don't worship idol. So it's very easy for them to make an assumption, this is the work of Ibrahim. So they call Ibrahim and ask him. Abraham said, answer them with wisdom again. He said, look where the axe is. The axe is in the hand of the big idol. I think the big idol was not happy with all the small and the medium size, because you associate him with all the other gods. He must be very unhappy. He have axed all of them. He have destroyed all of them. If you don't believe what I say, you have to ask him. Now this make all the disbeliever tongue tied. They were thinking it makes sense. We have to ask him. And then they know he can't speak. He is an idol. No, he can't see. He can't hear. They were very upset. Did Ibrahim lie? Did Ibrahim lie? In a way, now, Ibrahim don't really commit a pure lie. When people ask him to join them for the festival, he said, I'm sick. His heart is sick. Yeah, his heart is very sick. Look at the people worshipping stones. There is a saying among the Malays, very busy thing. Every one of us sakit. Sakit apa? Sakit hati. Yeah, not sakit mata, sakit telinga ka, gigi ka, perut ka, but that hati, yeah, every day sakit. Do we sakit hati selalu? When we talk to our friends, sakit hati. Talk to our children, they don't listen, sakit hati. You cannot run from sakit hati. And that's why Allah also said, "Fi kulubihim marad." In our hearts, there is a sickness. Yeah. That's why we must find peace. Yeah. In our heart. Allah bi zikrillahi tatma'inul qulub. By remembering Allah, your heart rests. By remembering people you don't like, you cannot rest. Remember about things that you don't like will not give you the peace of heart and peace of mind. Yeah? The third lie, what did Ibrahim said? The second one, he just want to play with them because they believe that this God, yeah, is the biggest God. He hear you, he sees, he know what you need, he can give you all the answer that you want. So ask this God. The third lies. What is the third lies? Yeah? The wife. Barakallahu fi. When he was walking with the wife, and the king at that time cannot look at beautiful lady. Anybody have a beautiful lady with them, the minister or his guard will inform the king, there is a new lady in the town. Then he will call them to bring the lady to her, to the palace. Because anything that is good belongs to the king. So when they came and approached Abraham, who is this lady? What did Abraham say? He is my sister. He is not really lying. He knows that he cannot do anything. He can't protect his wife. By saying this is my wife, and they grab your wife, it's very difficult. You say, my sister. Oh, this is your sister. We want her to go to the palace with us. But the beautiful part of the wife of Prophet Abraham, Sarah, she was very, very patient. She never argued. No, I'm the wife. If we are there, I think, I'm the wife, man. He's lying. No. He just keep quiet. Sometimes silence is wisdom. You are in a situation that you do not know what is going to happen. But is Sarah a sister? Yes, any woman is a sister. Either he's a big sister, young sister, you have biological sister, you have sister in faith. Yeah, we all Muslim are like one big family. Innamal mu'minuna ikhwah. Allah said, all believers are like brothers and sisters. But not biological. That's why she can be his wife. And then she was taken away. But Abraham immediately signaled the wife, be patient, have faith in Allah. And Ibrahim also have faith in Allah, tawakkal, and he start to pray. May Allah protect Sarah. That's how the history of Hajar came. Hajar is a gift from the king to Sarah. Because each time when the king have prepared, yeah, his slave or the maid have prepared Sarah for him, each time when he get close to Sarah, Allah punish him. If his right hand going to touch Sarah, this right hand collapse, paralyzed. It just, paralyzed on the spot. This make the king very, very afraid of Sarah. But being a king, he asked her a favor, please please don't curse me. I mean good for you. I give you everything. Anything you want, you can get from me. So Sarah made prayer, and the king was well again. And now the king is not going to come with one hand, with both hands. Yeah, being a king, you know, may accidentally something happen with the nerve, you know. It's just accidentally, you know. So he came to Sarah again. Now both hands got paralyzed. Then the king said, enough is enough. I don't want to suffer because of one lady. I have been doing this to so many ladies, no problem. But this lady, there is some problem. So he said, please forgive me. Yeah, pray for me so that the curse is being taken out. So Sarah prayed. And this time, he is not going to keep Sarah anymore. He said, Sarah, you can leave the palace. Yeah. But in return, because you have done a favor for me, this is a gift. What is the gift? He gave Hajar. Hajar is one of the princes. It's not a slave, it's a prince, because the king have many, many women in his life. How many children he don't even remember. You know, sometimes those who have a lot of children, you ask them, they don't remember, because they have about 20 over children. You know, from four wives maybe. Yeah, so it's not easy to remember. Yeah. So that's why Hajar came into the picture with Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Sarah is the one who recommend, because she knew that she cannot bear any children, and she know that Ibrahim loved children. So she recommend Ibrahim to marry with Hajar. Yeah. I end there, inshallah. Musa pushed a man so hard that he killed him. Moses, yeah, do kill some people, and so on. However, there are a number of things that we must remember in this regard. Number one, the mistake that the prophets made did not interfere with delivering Allah's message. No. Prophets are very, very careful when conveying the message of Allah. Not like us, we always misquote. Yeah? Sometimes when I'm teaching my jama'ah, after that my jama'ah will say something that I did not say. No. And that is we. But we do not do it purposely, so it's not a sin. But a prophet, they make sure that every single word, like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look at the miracle of the Quran. Anything from the Quran, you cannot put into the hadith. No hadith must come in. No interference. Purely the word of Allah. And that's why we talk about Quran, call Allah, call Allah, call Allah. Immediately you say call. But when the hadith, then the Sahaba will narrate it, and then the Prophet said so and so. Then the Prophet name come in. But when Allah's word, the Prophet name is not there. Meaning, you don't have to say, Qala Rasulullah. No need. Immediately you say, Qala Allah, Qala Allah. Yeah. It's not the saying of like, yeah, in other beliefs you have the saying of Paul, the saying of Peter, the saying of John. Yeah. There is the saying of the disciples or the followers. Anything come from the companions is the saying of the Prophet. Anything come from the Prophet and he said, call Allah, call Allah, is directly from Allah Rabbul Alameen. Also, Allah clearly corrected the mistakes of the Prophet so that the other people could not be misled by that. We have several examples in the Quran where Allah corrected Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mistakes. Such as you remember, there's one when the blind man came to him when he was entertaining the leaders of the tribes. You know, the blind man approached him. It's not that he don't respect the blind man. He looked down or humiliated the blind man. No. He was thinking that this is the good opportunity to just focus on these leaders of the tribe. And this man later on, I can, I will try my best to the Prophet. I will come to you later on. That's why the verses of Allah was Abasa wa tawalla. You know, you turn your face away when a blind man came to you. Not that he purposely looked down upon or humiliated that guy. It was corrected immediately. Their mistake, number two, were mostly caused by human weaknesses such as forgetting and misjudgment on matters in life. Nothing to do with the masses. They never result from lacking the sin or insisting on it. Because of this, they immediately turn to Allah in sincere repentance as soon as they realize their mistakes. Number three, their sin were never of the terrible and awful types that the people of the scripture attribute to them in the Bible. Example, for instance, the Bible claimed that Harun was the one who made the calf and worshipped it with the children of Israel. They said, this is the work of Harun. How can you say a prophet commit shirk? But they say that Harun is the culprit. He is the culprit. He is the one who do it when Moses left him with his people. And then they continue saying, Prophet Lut alayhi salam drank wine until he became drunk and did terrible things after that. And to the extent that he committed zina. This is what they said about prophets. Dawood, Prophet David, make a trick to steal one of his soldiers' wife. Taking people's wife. Sulaiman, Prophet Sulaiman, worshipped idol at the end of his life. That Isa cursed the previous prophet and said that they were thieves and robbers. It's written, they said that they are the false Messiah. They are the false prophet. That he is the only true prophet. And so on. All of them, if you look at this, all of these are lies. And the prophet are clear from them. It's like today people said, Jesus said that he is God. Never once Jesus said he is God. He know who is he. He know that he is the son of Mary. But those terms has been twisted and turned by Paul. Anyhow, a lot of people believe what Paul said. Last week we have a good discussion, alhamdulillah. And then one of the good sisters was discussing with me about the Bible. At the end, alhamdulillah, she accept the Quran. She want to read first. I said, good. This is important. For a Muslim, you cannot say that the Prophet or the Messenger of Allah commit that kind of sin. It's pure lie that people just want to create fitna. This is what fitna is. Affliction of the prophets. As a human, they also got sick. Since the prophets were human, they were exposed to the same natural incident like other humans. They passed through health and sickness, strength and weaknesses, life and death. They eat, they drink, they sleep. And for those who Allah have ordained to have family, they have family, they have children like us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us that Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Allazi khalaqani fahuwa yahdin, wallazi huwa yud'imuni wa yasqain. وَإِذَا مَرِدْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ وَالَّذِي يُمِيتُنِي ثُمَّ يُحْيِينَ. In Surah Shu'ara, verses 78 to 81. He, Allah, is the one who created me, and only He will guide me. The one who created us, if you go back to Him, He will guide you. Yeah. It is He who feed me and give me drink. Who provide us food and drink is Allah, Ar-Razzaq, Yarzuqu Man Yasha. When I am ill, it is He who cures me. When we are not well, who really give cure to us is Allah. But we can seek for medication, yes, as an ikhtiar being human. But at the end of the day, it's not that medicine that cure us. It is Allah who cure us. Remember I shared with you about Moses when he was having stomach pain, severe stomach pain. He prayed and then Allah said, go to this place and look for that leaf from this tree and eat the leaf from this tree. So he went and he ate and the pain just disappeared. So then after some time, the pain come back again. So he had that experience, that leaf. So he went to look for the same leaf and ate. But now, the pain do not disappear. Then he asked Allah. And Allah, it's not that leaf that cure you. It is because of me who decide to cure you through that leaf. I command you to go and look for that leaf in the first attempt. The second one, you did not ask me anymore. You go straight to that leaf. You think that that leaf can cure you? No. That is a difference. Yeah. Allahu Akbar. And He, Allah, is the one who caused me to die and then bring me to life. Now, if we all believe that death is what Allah has ordained, there's nothing for you to worry about death anymore. People can say, you mati lah, you are not going to die because He said you mati. No. Don't worry. Yeah. But some people who are worried about this word mati, my people don't like this word. Any letter that bring that sound, also he don't like that letter. That's why number four is C. They kata mati. They kata four. Four in Chinese, what you say? Say. Yet some say that die. It sounds like death. Yeah, it's just a letter. It's just a number. But it sounds like death. Oh, I don't want that number. Yeah. If the house has been arranged 1, 2, 3, 4, they will make sure that 1, 2, 3, 3 plus. 3A. Or 3 plus. Even the escalator. You know, those who worry about 13... Yeah, you have some so advanced in the West, they are so, I would say, civilized, but they don't like 13. If you use the, you use what, the leaf, 10, 11, 12, no 13. 12A, 12A, or go 14. Alhamdulillah, we Muslim, you can put any number. Any number is halal, for us. Yeah, alhamdulillah. We don't believe in that, because death is ordained by Allah, not by numbers. Yeah, so don't worry. That's why the Muslim, you want to get married is very easy. You want to spend less married in Ramadan. Yeah, you cannot invite anybody in the daytime, and at night. People is iftar, so you can just go to the mosque and say everybody is invited to come and breakfast here, and the mosque have prepared food for you. You just akad nikah and then breakfast, finish, and nobody is going to go and eat more after that because they are going to qiyam already. They want the night prayer. There is no saying in the hadith that you cannot get married in Ramadan. No. You don't have to look for a particular date and particular month. you want to get married. Yeah, no problem. Only when you are in ihram, you cannot get married. Yeah. Can we get married in Ramadan? Yes. Only you can marry daytime. You cannot have any intimacy in the daytime, only at night. Yeah. So next time, those who have problem about financial problem, yeah, plan for Ramadan. Both sides must agree. And again, I said again, you know, bring them to the mosque. You know, the mosque will be happy, yeah, to see a lot of guests, you know, who come to breakfast with them. Yeah. When we believe that life and death is been ordained, then we have no fear towards death anymore. Yeah, we are prepared. We know that at the end of the day, whether you are healthy, you are old or young, when the time for you to go, you have to go. You have nothing to do with age, nothing to do with your health. Only health will give you a more comfortable life. Yeah, you enjoy life better. Abu Sa'id al-Qudri radiallahu anhu reported that he visited Allah's messenger, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the messenger was sick, Abu Sa'ad or Abu Sa'id touched the blanket covering the messenger and exclaimed, "How severe is your fever, O Allah's messenger?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "We prophets are like this. Trials are made harder for us, and our rewards are multiplied." Is a very unique, yeah, feeling the Prophet have with Allah. If we have fever, the Prophet also experience fever. But if Allah will test him with fever, his fever is greater than our fever. If there's any pain, his pain is more than us. Yeah. Allah trialed the Prophet's harder than all of us, and that's why their rewards are multiplied. When you are tested by Allah more and you have patience, you hold on, you don't, yes, complain, don't give up, increase your sabr, just remember Allah. That's why the Prophet said, "La baqs tuhur, insha'Allah." Don't worry, purification. With the will of Allah. But normally, you and me, we are very weak in our iman. The minute we have been tested with pain, we are going to scream. We will shout, "Allah, why? Why?" And suddenly we come to ask why already. We give up very fast. We start to complain. We can't take the pain anymore. Our Prophet and most of the messenger of Allah have gone through more suffering than us. You remember the trial Allah put through Ayyub alayhi salam? Yeah. It's worse. I think no one of us can bear that kind of test. Yeah. But Allah know best. Yeah. Allah tested whom He chose, and also لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. He will never test us until we are ready for that test. So whatever Allah have test, put us through the trial, brothers and sisters, is something we can bear. Yeah, Allah will never burden us. That's why He don't test us like how He test all the prophets. He know we can't take it. He just test us based on our ability to handle the patient, inshallah. Now what I'd like to share with all the brothers and sisters again, we will just go to the other topic. We saw the above hadith, the Abu Sa'id. Yeah, of Abu Sa'id, that the Prophet was tried harder than common people. In another report, Abu Sa'id asked, "O Allah's Messenger, the Prophet, who among the people are tried the hardest?" Allah's Messenger, Prophet Muhammad SAW said, "Ashaddu an-nasi bala'an al-anbiya. ثُمَّ الْأُلَمَاءُ ثُمَّ الصَّالِحُونَ." Allahu Akbar. the most severe trial or test among the people from Allah and the prophets. Suit is the scholars. Scholar will be tested too. Today the scholar will be tested with what? With position and with comfort of life. You want to be on the top, follow us. Follow those who appoint you. Just follow. Even if it's against Allah, you just follow. Then you have a driver, good salary, comfort car. It's up to you to choose now. That's why the four great imam was offered to become the advisor to the amir, to the leader, at their time. Four of them refused to accept. And because they refused, three of them was imprisoned. Because you go against the authority. No, we are not going against authority. We just do not want to be under the control of a person. We will be controlled by Allah's command. What is the point? They appoint you because of your knowledge. But now you cannot exercise your knowledge. You cannot say what you are supposed to say. You appointed me because of my knowledge. My knowledge is a gift from Allah. It's an amana. I cannot just conceal the truth because of you. And this is the reason the ulama will be tested. You want dunya or you want akhirah? But you are not supposed to go and make any confrontation with them, but you just have to guide all the people who need your guidance, young and old, rich or poor. Haram is haram. When this is wrong, we say this is wrong. When Allah said riba is haram, you cannot twist and turn the concept of ribawiyah. You just have to say riba is haram. Injustice is haram. Corruption is haram. You cannot say, oh, the young people or the lower ranking people is corruption. The middle class is token. The higher class is a gift. No. Corruption is corruption. If the higher is the gift, everybody also can say it's also a gift. So you don't double standard. And this is halal for the upper, and this is haram for the lower class. No, you can't do that. So the Prophet have make it very clear, those most severely tried among the people are not the people like you or me, are the prophets, then the ulama, the scholar, then the righteous people. When you want to follow the Quran and Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how do you feel, brother and sister? Is that easy? Is that easy? Yeah, it's not easy. You may have problem with your family. You may have problem with your husband. You may have problem with your wife. Just because you want to follow what is right. Because the majority want you to be like them. Want you to follow the majority. And we choose to follow what Allah wants us to follow. Now we have to go against the norm. We are going against the current. But it's not our choice. Because we are the servant of Allah, and Allah commands us to follow His way, not your way or the way of anybody. He said, follow my way. فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. Allah said, this is my way, the right way. Follow my way. And Allah said, follow my Prophet. That's why we have to follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If Allah do not command us to follow the Prophet, we don't have to follow him. If Allah said, follow your forefather, then follow your forefather is correct because Allah said so. But Allah said, don't follow them. If you follow them, they will mislead you. Allah said that don't follow them. But He called you to follow the Prophet. He called us to follow the Muhajirin wal Ansar. Allah said in Surah Tawbah, follow the Muhajirin and Ansar. But we don't follow. We still want to follow other people. Did Allah say follow the Habib? The Habaib? No, if there is an ayat in the Quran, the Hadith say, follow my Habib, we follow all Habib. And when we have children in the future, we call him Habib. Give him a name. And he said, also a Habib. No, no. Follow Allah, yes. Follow the Prophet, yes. And follow وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ. Who are they? وَالسَّابِقُونَ وَالْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ. The people of Makkah and the people of Medina, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And even the Prophet said, عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّةِ وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ. And my Khalifa. And that's why we follow Abu Bakr. That's why we follow Omar. That's why we follow Osman. That's why we follow Ali, because the Prophet said so. But you have another group, so-called Muslim, they don't want Abu Bakr. They don't want Omar. They don't want they don't want Osman. They want who? Ali. Plus who? Plus who? Yeah. Hussein. Not Hussein Yi, you know. Hassan. You know. Fatima. We all believe in them. We love them. Yeah. But we cannot ignore the others. You can't. How can you ignore Abu Bakr, where the Prophet so trust him so much? To the extent when he was not well, he said to the wife Aisha, look for your father, look for Abu Bakr to lead the Ummah in the prayer. And how can a Muslim later on say, who is Abu Bakr? He's a liar, he's a kafir, he's a disbeliever. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. When anybody dare to say anything to the Sahaba, then we know that you cannot believe in him, you cannot listen to him. If you make kufr to another Muslim, the kufr will come back to you. May Allah protect all of us, inshallah. Yeah? And may Allah give guidance to those who have these crazy ideas. You know? The last one that I'd like to share with you today, Sa'ad also said, the Prophet said, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً أَنْبِيَ ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَرِ فَالْأَمْثَرِ. Those most severely tried among the people are the Prophets, then the best people after them, and then the next best. That's why the Prophet said, yeah, Khairul Qarni, yeah, Khairul Nas Qarni, Khairul Qurun Qarni, the best time at the time who people live with me. Thumma lazina lilunahum, then the next generation. Thumma lazina lunahum, only three generations. That the Prophet promised us is still good. After that, the fitan is going to become greater for the next generation until today. May Allah protect all of us from the trial that we can't handle. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the good feeling towards all the Prophets, that we will not have any negative thoughts that the Prophet commits sin like all of us, inshallah. If there's any question, now we open to the floor for the Q&A. Fatafaddal. Any question from the sisters first? Then they said the mic, please pass on the mic to the sister. Pass the mic to the sister behind you.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
I have a question about salat on a chair.
Salat on a chair.
Yeah, because when we perform salat on a chair in outside mosque, and when the imam asks to close the gap, Sometimes the ladies don't want to move. So I find that I have to carry my chair to fill the gap. But when I do that, and I want to stand, when I stand, I put my feet next to the jama'ah. And so in doing that, I push the chair back. When I push the chair back, I will leave a less gap for the sister behind me. So how to prevent her from getting upset with me when I do that?
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, as a Muslim, we always must feel for each other. We care for each other. We must have mercy for each other. For those who can't pray while standing, then Allah allowed them to pray while sitting down. Now, the adab of people who want to sit also is good that they choose to be at the end of the saf, so they minimize inconvenience to others. It's also wise to put a chair that is not so big, that take more space if possible. Yeah? The best one is you have your own saf, you form your own saf, or you go, you stay far behind, so that you don't disturb any other people, the other saf, because you are the last saf, so you don't disturb. And also the Prophet did say that the best saf from the woman is behind, so you don't lose, you still get the best saf. Yeah? But if suddenly you are in a situation that there are people behind you now, still, even the men here, every night we have that issue, the same issue. But what we do, what we do is that we get a younger jama'ah, a shorter jama'ah, or a boy, to stand behind that, because he can then be more mobile. He can still stand together with the same saf, feet to feet. But when come to rukuk, he's worried that he may hit the chair in front of him. Then he can move backward a bit, and then he make rukuk. The same goes to sujood. Then when he come up standing, he will just move back front again, forward, and stay in the same line. There are certain movements that you can do when you are praying, when there is a reason for you to move. So everything can be organized. For the sister who are upset because she said, now you take one space away from us now. We cannot pray in the behind the row because the chair is there and we cannot make sujood. But still, if you know what to do, you can. But I will encourage the sister who have to sit in between, if you can move backward in the future, or get a chair that is not that big. It's sufficient that you feel secure, you can sit, it is better. The folding chair, I think, is okay, inshallah. You understand that, sis, inshallah? Yeah.
What happens if, let's say, nobody wants to fill in the gap?
Yeah, it's because of our own ignorance. May Allah forgive us. Yeah, there's no sin involved, because people do not know how to handle the situation. Anything that we have done that is not done purposely, I don't want to be in a saf, then there's no sin involved. Yeah? So we can re-educate them again, remind them, inshallah. Yeah. Any other question from the sisters? Faddal, pass the mic to the sister.
Assalamualaikum, Sheikh.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Can we actually say a dua during our sujud in our heart in Bahasa or in English, since we can't speak Arabic that fluent?
Yeah.
But I know in Salat it's all has to be in Arabic language. Yeah.
That's my question. Any recitation when you are making Salah, whether it's fardu or sunnah, the salah with takbirtu ihram and taslim, then it must be in Arabic. It's very unique. This is part of the wisdom in Islam that Allah and the Prophet choose one language for everybody. So that in a way you are united through that language. Wherever you go, everybody who perform prayer, whether the Chinese imam, African imam, Arab imam, Malay imam, everybody recite one language, Arabic, where every Muslim understand. Yeah? Alhamdulillah. Now, secondly, the Prophet did say, "Akrabu, akrabu ma yakunu abdu min rabbihi fa huwa sajid fa aqsar du'a." The closest between the servant, a human, to God is when he was in a state of prostration, when you are making sujood, fa aqsar du'a. And the Prophet said, make a lot of du'a. Make du'a. That is the best place to make du'a. So now, but if you ask me, the Prophet never said the last sujood, no. But we recommend the last sujood so that your prayer will be more focused. If you do in the other sujood, we are worried when you are too involved in your prayer, you may forget which rak'at you are in. It makes a lot of confusion. So find the best place that do not create any kind of confusion to yourself, and that will be the last sujood. So after reciting Subhan Rabbil A'la 3 times, then you can make any other dua, but please don't recite any verses of the Quran because the Prophet forbid us. Now you don't memorize the dua in Arabic. Can you make dua in any other language without reciting? Yes. There are 2 types of dua: dua through recitation and dua from your heart. It's like you are reciting the Quran, Al-Fatiha. Do your heart and your mind focus on the meaning? You must. You cannot focus in Arabic because you don't understand. So when people say Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, you know, your heart must respond, your mind must, that you are mentioning the name of Allah, the merciful, the beneficent, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin. Now your mind and your heart is responding that you are praising Allah, Lord of the world. You know, you must have that kind of connection. So in your heart, of course. In your mind, of course. It can be any language. Yeah, it's just like the Arabs, in their mind and in their heart, will be in Arabic. Yeah. For us, majority of us will be in Bahasa. Yeah. For me, sometimes Bahasa, sometimes Hokkien. Yeah. For other people, have a Minang, or you have any Jawa, no problem. That is common. The meaning is according to what you remember and what you feel in the heart. But the recitation is in Arabic. Okay? Now, any last question from the brothers? Today we have a sister, inshallah, to join us in Islam. There will be a reversion after this. So please stay on and give the moral support to the sister, inshallah. Any question? Fadda.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Sometimes when you're in the masjid and the prayer has already started, so maybe you're like one rak'ah, or maybe they just started praying somewhere. If you need to make a new line, sometimes some people start at the end and some people start at the middle, and sometimes they're both groups. So is there like a recommendation to which one we should join? Okay. And also if we are the one that's making a new line, should we start in the middle or to the sides?
Naam. A good question from the brother. When you are performing prayer in jama'ah, whether in surah or masjid, now the imam have started the prayer. The saf is there. So happened that the first saf is full now, or the second saf is full. Do you pull somebody from the saf to come and join you? No. Where should you stand? Some people may stand at the corner from this side. Example, this is where the imam at the middle, he'll go in to the end of the room. The saf should be started from behind the imam, the middle. According to the adab of saf, even when the imam is alone, then ma'mum stands side beside him, on the right side, or on the right side. And then the second thing, when the two, then the second one who come and join, he will stand immediately behind the imam, and the one who is standing beside will move backward. That's how it starts, from behind the imam. Now, if the first row have been full, yeah, then the second saf start from behind the same one, the middle. And then right, left, right, left. That is the adab. Yeah, right, left, right. They start from behind, then right, and then left. If all right, 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 there's no left. Some people want all right, right. I want to be on the right. You want to be on the right, you must look at the adab. Yeah, if there's no right yet, then you right first and then left. That's how the self, yeah, will be rewarded accordingly. Yeah, first come, first serve. He come first and then he come again. But you are getting the same reward because you are following the adab. You got that, inshallah? You start from the middle. And that's why I said, when you want to check the saf whether it's straight or not, you don't look at the one beside you. You look straight to the middle. You must check and then look at the person in the middle of the saf. Are you straight with him? If you are straight, then you are straight. If you keep on looking at the one beside you, immediately those who are beside you, you will see the saf will go crooked. So everybody must focus to the middle. Then you'll get the stuff straight, inshallah. Yeah. Inshallah, may Allah make it easy for all of us. So, brother and sister, we will spend some time to witness the revision of one of the sister today. And if the sister is ready, we can organize. Can you get the table, the green table here? You can put at the middle there, inshallah. The sister's place now. Alhamdulillah. Is it dusty? Huh? And the tissue. Is it dusty? Take the tissue. It's dust. Lap itu, lap. Lap meja. We will end our session, our classes. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Do you have a friend, a male friend today with you? No. Any one of the people that you know here? Meal. Okay. We need two male brothers here. Anybody want to be the witness? You can come and join us here. Come. This is your two witnesses. Yeah. May I know your name?